Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. It's the 1st of March, which means more and more construction happening. Slowly but surely, we're edging towards spring. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line. And Dorsey is, of course, the Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me back. March is here, so you're right. The spring construction boom is going to be taking off, but also spring training, which means opening day is right around the corner. Finally, some warm temperatures, hot dogs, and cold beers.
Amen, you know? Brother. Amen.
I can't wait.
1 month from today, April 1st is the home opener for the Tribe, which is a Monday. So we're all looking forward to that one. I just love this time of year because it only gets better, you know.
Exactly. It only gets better from here, and it'll make it a little bit easier to get up and hitting the alarm clock on that Monday morning, knowing that you got baseball to look forward to that day. So that'll be awesome.
I hear you. Well, I'm hearing a lot of good things about Columbus. You referenced the Google project there some months back on this broadcast, and it finally picked up in the local media. We always try to get ahead of the game anyway. I want to talk about that a little bit later because that's a big boom to Central Ohio. But first, let's talk politics. And the good news is Mayor Ginther is unopposed. And I know you're a big fan of Mayor Ginther. Talk to me about him, Dorsey.
Huge fan of Mayor Ginther. I mean, you know, our relationship between he and the building trade started back early in his career. He was on Columbus City School Board, was always a big advocate of apprenticeship programs, pre-apprenticeship programs. The building trade moved on to city council. Then he became president of city council, and then with the retirement of Michael B. Coleman almost 4 years ago, Mayor Ginther obviously threw his hat in the ring along with a lot of other people to be the mayor of Columbus. The building trades got on board early with him 3.5 years ago, did everything we could to help him get elected his first term, which he did. And the things that he's done that he talked about in his first State of the City and some of the things he reiterated a couple weeks ago in his State of the City, giving people from underserved communities an opportunity at that bite of the apple, you know, putting them in position to get on that direct path to the middle class. He spoke about the Columbus building trades. He spoke about myself, a couple other labor leaders. He spoke about our Building Futures pre-apprenticeship program, our apprenticeship programs, how they're tuition free. And I mean, a lot of the things that are going on around Columbus are because of the partnerships that we've made and the relationships that we've made with Mayor Ginther, but also the relationships that he's helped us foster with other people. You know, they talk about the Columbus Way here in Columbus, and it's a private-public partnership between everybody for the betterment of all, and it seems like to be working here. And, I mean, I said this to my wife the other day. I said, you think about this. I said, Columbus is the 14th largest city in the country, and the mayor is unopposed. Mm. No competition. I mean, that's just I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, but, you know, the guy's done a great job. His staff's done a great job. There was somebody on his staff last night who I've known for quite a long time, have a great relationship with, Adam Friedman. And I was talking to Adam about that last night, and he said, you know, while we're obviously, you know, pleased to not have an opponent, you know, we're not letting off the gas pedal. He said in the staff meeting that the mayor came in, he said, this isn't a time for complacency. He said, this is a time to ramp up the intensity, work a little harder, put the foot on the gas pedal a little faster, and let's keep this thing, you know, driving down the road. So I'm so happy for him. It's just an incredible opportunity for not only he and his staff, but the whole city of Columbus, but also the building trades. I mean, it's awesome. And again, to think about that, 14th largest city in the country, and the mayor is unopposed, that's absolutely amazing.
I had no idea that Columbus is that large. You're telling me 14th in the country today?
Yeah, we were 15th when the mayor first got elected, and then in his first 3 years, the population growth exceeded, and we moved up to 14th. I mean, on a land comparison, Columbus is similar to Chicago with our population density and the amount of people. You know, we're not as big as Chicago, obviously, but we're over 800,000 people. I think I saw a statistic that the other day that, you know, Columbus could have over 1 million people by 2030. and maybe 2 million people by 2050. That's the way that the growth is going. And I think it's 131 people a day are moving to Columbus. There's new people. And the last 2 years, I saw another statistic. For the first time in the last 2 years, the birth rates are exceeding the mortality rates, which means usually you would have somebody pass, somebody born, somebody pass, somebody born. Now the baby boomers obviously living longer, more people moving to Columbus, more people having families. The birth rates are going up, so we're adding population density there too. And of course, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, we world headquarters of AEP, Wendy's, Nationwide. We have the Ohio State University, Battelle, you know, Facebook coming here, Google coming here. It's just amazing the growth, not only in Columbus, but in also the Central Ohio marketplace. And you know, a big economic driver of that is the city of Columbus, and a lot of the direction of that falls under the leadership of the mayor.
That is amazing to me. And Cleveland is pretty much at a standstill. I mean, we've been losing population over the years. It's kind of stabilized, but hats off to you, my friend. That is just truly amazing. I want to talk more about Google down the road, as I indicated. But let me ask you this. Ginther's done such a great job, and usually when politicians do a great job, they seek higher office. Has he made any mentions to that effect?
Hasn't said anything to me, and that's not something that I broach with people when they're in elected positions, obviously. But, you know, we have a lot of friends of labor that are in positions here, state house, state senate, mayor, city council. And obviously, if they bring it up with me, their future intentions, if they're friends of ours, I try to help them achieve their goals. But he's never said that to me so far. I think he enjoys being mayor of Columbus. I think he sees a lot of challenges. I think there's a lot of things that he wants to tackle. He was hugely beneficial in getting the Smart City grant for the Columbus area. So I think transportation is a big thing on his plate that he would like to see get taken care of, the issue with mass transit and transportation. Economic inequality is huge. You know, you and I have talked about this in the past. Unfortunately, there's people in Columbus, even though the economy is booming, jobs are plentiful, wages are going up, there's people that are being left behind that aren't on that economic train. And unfortunately, it's geographical, and they're in some of the Celebrate One neighborhoods, which there's eight neighborhoods around Columbus where infant mortality rates are high. Lack of economic advancement is low, lack of job opportunities. And we've partnered with the mayor, and we're having career fairs, community roundtables in each of those neighborhoods to let a lot of these individuals know, not only students as early as 7th and 8th grade, but high schoolers and also young adults or people that have maybe been misplaced from their jobs or maybe restored citizens, maybe have had a little hiccup in their career, been incarcerated and come back. We've been reaching out to them to let them know that the opportunity in the building trades is there. And I think Andy, you know, the mayor really wants to address those things in his second term. So I think that's what he's focused on right now.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay. Now, on the other side of the fence, we have a couple of lawmakers in the state house that would like to, you know where I'm going with this.
So we go from an advocate of the labor and building trades to two people who would never be confused with being advocates of the building trades or organized labor. Yes.
Where did
Rydell
they come from?
Rydell and Manchester. I don't know, because I tell you, it's like it's kind of like a movie that all your friends are telling you you're bad. You don't want to read up on it or go see it. That's Rydell and Manchester. I don't want to know their names. I don't want to know where they're from. I don't know, you know. But every year they take a whack at organized labor, and obviously in the past with Rosenberger and some of the people that have been in the House, it's been a little bit easier. But this year they've stepped up their efforts. They've introduced House Bill 78. It's to make prevailing wage optional, but it's also to raise the threshold of prevailing wage from $250,000 on new construction to $500,000. So that would pretty much abolish prevailing wage in the state of Ohio, obviously, because it's not for the total project. It's for the contract. So you could have some contracts that are, you know, above $500,000 or below $500,000 you wouldn't have to pay prevailing wage
on.
But the good news is, and I know we talked about this at length when I was on the show last month, but, you know, our efforts, it seems like to be bearing some fruit and paying off. With Speaker Householder. He has spoken out in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, on Cleveland.com, Columbus Dispatch, Cincinnati Inquirer, that he feels like any move to raise the threshold or abolish prevailing wage would be a step backward, that now when we need young people to get into these building trades careers, because the need for skilled tradesmen is abundant throughout the state of Ohio, you know, not just in Cleveland and Cincinnati and Columbus, but also the rural areas with the natural gas and the pipeline work and, you know, infrastructure and highways and roads and everything. We need people everywhere to do this work. You know, the speaker has said that this bill is a step backwards and it's not good. We need to be encouraging and advocating people to go into the building trades. We don't need to be doing anything to stop them or impede them from going into the building trade. So, you know, again, makes it that more important why we lobbied so many of our friends at the State House and tried to get them on the bus to get the new speaker elected. You know, unfortunate there was 12 Democrats that didn't see that side, but fortunate that there was 26 that did. So hopefully this thing will go nowhere, and that's what I'm hearing so far, but it seems like a broken record every month and every year that I've been on your show. We got to keep our ear to the pavement and see what's going on down at the corner of Broad and High and try to you know, make sure we're aware of anything like this, because we can't let anything like this slip by or pass us by.
And let's throw his name out there again. It's Craig Rydell, state representative out of Defiance, which is in northwestern
Defiance, that's right, northwest Ohio.
Yeah. He's Defiant, yeah. All right.
Yes, his argument is that unions increase wages and benefits in rural areas from which he's from.
Yeah.
So basically, the way I take that, and I don't know if constituents take it, but the way I take it, if I was one of his constituents and I live in a rural area, he's not my rep, thank God, but I live in a rural area. The way I would take it is, okay, so I live in a rural area and I don't need to be paid as much and earn the wages and benefits that somebody else doing my job are. That's crazy. And that's one of the arguments I made when I first got into office in 2003 as a business manager, when I would go down and talk to these reps and senators about prevailing wage. I'm like, you guys receive prevailing wage. A senator from Cleveland makes the same amount of money as a senator from Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the cost of living in Cleveland is a lot more than it is in Portsmouth.
Exactly.
So you're saying that an operating engineer or a pipe fitter in Defiance doesn't deserve to make as much as an operating engineer or a pipe fitter right down the road in Lima or in Dayton or up
right.
the road in Toledo? That's not right. It's not fair.
Maybe we should cut his pay.
We have prevailing wage at the State House. Exactly.
Cut his pay. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Make it commiserate with Defiance. You know? Make it commiserate with Defiance. He doesn't need to make 100% of what the state rep from Columbus makes. He only needs to make 72% of what the state rep makes, because it's 28% cheaper to live in Defiance than it is in Columbus. Rent's cheaper. Housing's cheaper. It's all cheaper, you know?
See, if I was a Democrat in the State House, I think I would introduce legislation like that. Mr. Rydell, we're going to cut your pay by this amount because you live in a rural area where you say the cost of living is less.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. We're solving all the problems on your show.
There you go. That's what the show's all about.
I think we could do that. The good news about the sponsorship bills, obviously, not only the speaker and his leadership, but I think his influence has helped as well. I think last year there was 38 co-sponsors to the bill. This year there's only 18. So I think there's people that are looking and saying, hey, this is crazy. This is not where we're wanting to go. You know, we're wanting to look at a gas tax to improve infrastructure. We're wanting to improve vocational training. We're wanting to improve education. We're wanting to give everybody in the state an opportunity to better themselves. We want to keep the economy going. Why are we talking about this? This is not good.
It's a waste of time. It's an absolute waste
Absolutely.
Of time. And you know what? He's smart enough to know that it's not going to go anywhere. I mean, all he's doing
He said that in the Cincinnati Inquirer. That was his direct quote. He's like, I know it's not going to go anywhere. He's like, however, this needs to be debated and discussed. Crazy.
Well,
okay.
You know, Darcy, the same thing is going on down in Kentucky with Rand Paul. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he introduced National Right to Work, which he introduced in the last Congress. And
yes.
You know it's not going to go anywhere in the House of Representatives now that the Democrats are in control, but he does it anyway. I mean, it's crazy. And it's the same kind of thing, I guess, just preaching to their base, right?
Exactly. I think that's the issue. I think that's it. I think they're preaching to their base. Throwing a little red meat out there. And let's not forget, too, I mean, I don't know about Rydell and Manchester, but the Tom Brinkmans, the Ron Hood, the Bill Deems, gosh, I hate even remembering them and mentioning their names. But those gentlemen around the state have introduced legislation like this because they know it coincides perfect with a fundraiser that they're going to do to their base, and they can go to their, you know, to some of their non-union allies, some of their chamber members that are big beneficiaries in their areas, you know, and say, hey, look what I've done, you know, help me out so I can stay here to keep the fight for you, to keep unions in check and wages down.
Right. You know, and these are the same people. They're the same people that advocated against raising any taxes. And what did you just mention? Raising the gas tax now, 18 cents a gallon. Why? Because they sat on it for 14, 15 years and did nothing.
What, 2002, right? 2 cents was the last time it was raised? 2002, 2 cents.
Yeah, something like that.
It's been almost 17 years. Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
And Ohio has the fourth largest freeway and highway infrastructure of any state in the country. Fourth largest. So we've got to do something about looking at maintaining our roads. And in a rural county where I live, the big thing is the bridges. I think 9 of our bridges in Union County are beyond repair right now and unsafe to drive on. But we have school buses, we have ambulances, we have safety vehicles, we have sheriffs, police officers, not to mention your everyday citizens driving to and from work, to and from school, to and from church on Sundays every day on those roads and bridges that are unsafe, and we're not doing anything to address the problem.
I hear you, buddy. All right, I got to take a break. Dorsey Hager on our live line. He is Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, the website, columbusconstruction.org. We'll continue the conversation with him. Also coming up, Tim Murphy, one of the writers for Mother Jones Magazine, is going to talk about AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, showing us the future of politics. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
For over 20 years, Organized Labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs. Because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
Thanks again to one of our newest sponsors, financial advisor Dan DiVerna. Dan's latest book, The Union Worker's Guide to Constructing a Retirement Strategy, is an easy read and is full of information directed at helping union members and their families prepare for the future. You can order your own copy of The Union Worker's Guide to Constructing a Retirement Strategy at dandiverna.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Before we get back to Dorsey Hager, got to give another plug here to the Construction Trades Apprenticeship Fair. It's next Thursday, March 7th. Again, the location is Max Hayes High School, located at 2211 West 65th Street. And it starts around 6, goes to 7:30. That's usually the time that they run these fairs, and they've done them throughout the years and are getting more and more attendance, which is good, but we need to pack the place. No question about that. You want to get some more information? Call Doreen Cannon at 216-459-0099, extension 143. That's next Thursday, March 7th, Construction Trades Apprenticeship Fair. Let's go back to our live line. Speaking of construction, Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. I want to get into the building futures impact, but, boy, talk about construction booming in Central Ohio. You're just indicating in the first segment about Columbus now the 14th largest city in the United States. And you saw that article I sent, too, about high-tech giants driving U.S. construction trends. I mean, what Google's putting, what, like a $600 million project together down there?
Yeah, so I think the worst kept secret in the last 6 months in Central Ohio has been Google and their large land acquisition in New Albany, which is a suburb of Columbus, just northeast, right outside of Franklin County. And they bought a bunch of land right by the Facebook site, where Facebook's going to, you know, has been doing construction for about a year, and they just started on about $2 billion worth of construction work, data centers, offices, stuff like that. It seems like Google's going to reduplicate something very similar to Facebook. The first project's going to be a data center, $600 million. Been talking to some of our contractor reps, some of our contractor associations. Obviously, with a data center, heavy mechanical. It's going to be a ton of work for the electrician, ton of work for the plumber, pipe fitter, the sheet metal worker, and the insulator. So we're excited about that. I mean, nobody worked there for the carpenter and the operating engineer and the, you know, the cement mason and stuff too. I mean, a $600 million data center, it's going to be a lot of cement in there too. But there's a lot of heavy mechanical in those data centers, so it's going to be good for the mechanical trades. Then after that, the word is now, and it's still in the early planning stages, but what Google would like to do is, while they have the workforce there on the data center, as the data center starts to wind down, they would like to transition that workforce that's there and start them on the construction of 10 office buildings. And, you know, start with the first one, ramp up, ramp down, move on to the second one and do that too. So right now, for sure, it's the data center, but there's got to be support buildings there as well. So we're looking at 10 buildings after the data center as well. So it's a pretty good project. A lot of good things happening out there in the New Albany area. A lot of good things happening in Central Ohio, especially with data and IT technology. Like you said, it seems like a lot of data centers. You know, the Amazons, the Googles, the Facebooks, the City Cards, they're all coming here to Central Ohio to do their thing. So it's good. It's good for our members. It's good for the community.
And especially good for the IBEW. You think about the data centers there. My gosh, you need some qualified electricians to make sure that's all going to happen. And I would imagine they're scouring the whole area there for those electricians, because that is a very important segment of the trades right now, isn't it?
Oh, huge important segment. I mean, I saw it last count, it's close to 400 electricians at Facebook.
Wow.
Right now. So you think about that, yeah, and you think about that. I know that Ed Moore and Dustin Gockenbach, Pat Hook, Chris Poff, the organizers and reps here in Columbus are doing everything, and they're working hand-in-hand with the building trades and their training director, Willie Thompson, and, you know, working with us on also establishing, you know, keeping the pre-apprenticeship program going, the building future, so that way we're doing recruitment and finding some of these people that are maybe out there, maybe who have never worked construction and but have a knack for it, or have the math and stuff that they can do it, or maybe have worked construction but have been underutilized. Maybe they're working residential, or they're working for an open shop company who's not, you know, paying them their fair market value. So we're doing a lot of outreach events, a lot of recruitment. We're doing a lot of pre-apprenticeship programs to get people trained and get them ready so that they can walk onto a job when one's available and then walk into an apprenticeship program. So we're trying to tackle this issue of manpower from all angles. And, you know, I was at an event last night. I was talking to Alex Fisher, who's the Board of Trustees at The Ohio State University. And you know, I don't want to reveal a lot of what he said, but I know that their biggest things right now is finishing the Covelli Center, which is the Olympic sports arena that they're doing. You know, which back in the day we'd been tripping over talking about, but now it's kind of a normal, you know, job. It's about a $30 to $40 million job site, you know, so nothing crazy like a $600 million data center, but obviously an impressive job site, especially for the Ohio State University. But they're also talking about the new tower down there for OSU Medical Center, which I think right now it's being budgeted about $1.875 billion. Then they've got a lab to go in concert with that, that's going to work with that. That's about a $200 million lab. So a lot of construction dollars being spent at Ohio State, a lot of work being done by the city of Columbus, a lot of work being done by the county. And then, like I said, you have Columbus 2020, and you have the downtown development going out and bringing partners in like Facebook and Google and Amazon. And there's a lot of private work being done as well.
Amazing. Talk to me about the building futures impact on the community. I know you and I have touched on this in past shows. What's the latest in this arena?
Yeah, well, Julie Machieski, the outreach coordinator from IBW 683, the Electrical Trade Center, and then Leland Bath at Impact have been really the people doing the heavy lifting and carrying the water, and they've been doing a hell of a job for this program. I've just been kind of overseeing it along with Bo Chilton from Impact, our partner in the community, but Leland and Julie are really doing a heck of a job with this thing, not only the outreach, but getting people into the cohorts, making sure the class schedules stay on time, getting the training they deserve. Dale Clark from Sheet Metal Workers Local 24, their president and also one of their international instructors, is our instructor there. He does a great job with the kids. But Leland put together a little report for me a couple weeks ago that he said just I wouldn't believe, and it would blow my mind, and he's absolutely right. But out of our first two cohorts last year, we're into cohort three now. Out of our first two cohorts last year, I mean, I'll be honest with you, on day one when we set this up, I think a realistic goal was maybe a 60% graduation rate. I was hoping for 50. I thought that would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our graduation rate was 88%, and out of those 88% of graduates, 85% were placed either in a local union or in a JATC program or on a job, but were given, you know, put on a career path. And the average hourly starting rate for those graduates was $16.91 an hour. That's just on the check. That doesn't include the benefits. So you think about that. You hear about the Fight for 15 and a fair living wage.
Yeah.
Graduates of our Building Futures pre-apprenticeship program, the average wage starting out was $16.91 an hour. And then the economic impact in Franklin County last year, our graduates earned in wages and benefits was just a little over $1.4 million. So tremendous statistics and great success. Of our, now we just got to keep, you know, I know I've said this earlier, but we got to keep our foot on the gas and keep this thing going now. And a lot of it depends on the workload. A lot of it depends on our public-private partnerships. A lot of it depends on project labor agreements, community benefit agreements, mm-hmm. memorandums of understanding, prevailing wage. We talked about that. You know, prevailing wage is there.
Mm-hmm.
That way people are interested in getting into the trades, earning a good living, getting health and welfare and a great pension so they can retire with dignity and respect and support their families and themselves. But also, prevailing wage is there because a lot of that money gets reinvested into our apprenticeship, pre-apprenticeship programs, and to our journeyman upgrade programs to make sure people keep the skills, to keep them employable, so we can attract these customers to want to come here. And we have this large base of skilled tradesmen and women and skilled trade people to build these projects here in Columbus and Central Ohio and make it, you know, make it a place that people want to be and that they want to come and either expand their projects or start their business or build their projects here.
See, that's the part that a lot of these anti-union lawmakers don't understand. They don't understand that it gets plowed back into the apprenticeship program so they could continue to grow. And if we could stop here in a minute, you mentioned that $16.91, and that's an average hourly rate. And you mentioned the fight for 15. Now think about this, Dorsey. I mean, right now, the minimum wage in the country is $7.25 an hour, and there's a lot of press, a lot of media coverage on the Fight for 15. Rightly so. We should raise all wages. I don't have any argument with that. But don't you think that this should be, and the labor shortage is around all in America. It's not just in Cleveland or Columbus. I mean, we need more people in the trades, period, nationally. Don't you think that this should be a national story here in America? Deservedly on the front page of the newspapers. I mean, we're talking about, forget the 15. Let's go for the 17 hourly average. And then you mentioned $1.4 million in wages and benefits and an 88% graduate rate. I mean, that speaks volumes. You follow my lead here?
Absolutely. I think, and not to keep it simple, but it's true. And when I go out and I speak at outreach events or high schools or middle schools, it's, you know, show up every day, show up on time, listen to instructions and do what you're told, and you're going to be employable. You're going to be employable. We're going to give you the skills necessary. We're going to give you the training necessary, and you're going to be employable, and you're going to be in that middle class, and you're going to be making a good health and welfare and a pension benefit as well. All you have to do is show up every day and apply yourself. And guess what? The best selling point to it, and this is what the Rydells and Manchesters of the world I don't think understand, is no tax dollars. It's all paid for by our local union. So the person is getting a free education. The only thing they have to pay for with is their time and their effort.
There you go.
No burden on the local taxpayers. It's all, you know, and I think we're starting to see our pre-apprenticeship model, the Building Futures, being copied and utilized with other private-public partnerships throughout the county with nurses, people they need in health care. I know Columbus State's looking at doing it with IT because we talk about all these data centers coming here. If we don't have people to man the data centers and to work on them and to work in them, then they're not going to come here because it's, again, back to Alex Fisher in our conversation last night, every new possible customer he meets with that wants to come to Columbus, it's, do you have the labor force to build what I need to be built? And do you have the labor force to run and operate what I need after it's built? Those are the first two questions. Everything after that is minutia.
All right, we'll have to leave it on that note. I got another guest waiting in the wings. Dorsey, thank you so much for what you do. Things are really exciting down there in Central
Ohio. Hey, thanks
for
giving me the opportunity to come on and talk about it again. And like I said, I can't wait till April when we're talking, because we're going to be post-gaming opening day, right?
You got it, my friend. I'm looking at the calendar. Our next broadcast will be on April 5th, so hopefully we'll have a couple of wins under our belt, and we'll just keep moving forward. Okay, buddy?
We'll be one weekend and have an idea of what the summer's going to look like. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Flash.
You got it, my friend. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstruction.org is the website.